Whoa, pardon me. Oh, gosh. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Greetings, Goofsters, and welcome to episode 11 of the Two Goofs podcast, the 12-episode series where two best friends who worked in the Disneyland character department relive their days in costume at the park. Currently sipping on a mint julep in New Orleans Square and remembering the good old days, I'm Adam. And riding the monorail continuously, babbling to confused kids about the headroom and code 90, it's Jeff.
Wow. Thank you.
All great stories come to an end, and here we are in the twilight of our Disneyland podcast journey. It's been a great year of sharing our memories from inside the costume. You know, we initially conceived of the show just to give our kids a piece of our life story that they could look back on and listen to, and yet here you've been along for the ride that we hope was an e-ticket attraction in your mind. We had some laughs, we shed some tears, we learned a few things we didn't know before. Yes, this is only episode 11, and we've been touting a 12-episode limited series all the while. Well, that's because today we closed the book on our time in the park. What we have planned for episode 12, we'll let you know as we wrap up this discussion. So, Jeff, as you look back just on this experience in general doing the podcast, is there something that has surprised you that you've learned, a memory you were especially excited to share along the way?
For me, it's really interesting. I don't know how much time I spend really focusing on specific memories and sitting kind of with that. I mean, you know, you have the ones that stick out, but to really try and dive into the ones that either you've forgotten or that don't necessarily stand out, I feel like that's a bigger deal for you, Adam. I feel like you spend a lot of time in nostalgia and things like that. But yeah, it's been really interesting to me, like even as just like a, I don't know, mental health exercise. I've actually started trying to do that with my life, just kind of reflect on, yeah, what was 2004 like in the life of Jeff Campbell Smith? So I've appreciated that.
Oh, well, I'm glad it's been a fun journey for you that way. For me, it's been hearing your clarifications of my remembrances of so many stories. Well, I don't know if it was all that. I feel like you're dramatizing this a bit, Adam, which is my way. But it is also very fun for me because, you know, as much as we imagined, or at least I did when I hired into the park, oh, I'm going to be working with my best friend all the time. That didn't happen very often. So those moments that we did, it was fun, but to hear what was kind of going on before I hired in and learn about your early days, and then also to reaffirm in my mind, you know, that it was very meaningful to you, and I'm sure we'll get into that as we continue on, but to at certain moments hear how meaningful and emotional that it made you was very cool. So let's get into this thing, because last episode we talked about some of the frustrations with the job that had built up over time and ultimately led to your decision to move on from character work. What can you tell us about those final days? Was there any great hoopla associated with your departure? Did you have great plans for how you were going to go out in a blaze of glory? How did it all come together?
I mean, a couple of things. We were just talking about, like, I was going back and listening to some of our first episodes, and like, yeah, there was a couple of things that I have further remembered. One, I think I said that all of our that hiring group that we all bought the brick together, we all made it to 5 years. No, it was actually 3 years, because 3 years is a major milestone because you get an additional discount level or something like that where you're considered around for a significant amount of time. 5 years is your first one where you get a pin. So I had hit five. And for me, it was interesting that it was kind of a combination of several things. We talked last time about my attempt to feel well treated, which led into like trying to form a union or join a union. So that was kind of one thing. It didn't immediately lead to my leaving, but it was kind of one of those like, okay, like this is not going to happen. So I kind of had one foot out the door in that way. I had fairly recently broken up with a girlfriend that I was working with at the time, because I had a number of shifts where we would still be working together, which was extraordinarily odd. As a matter of fact, I even had one shift where I was the double for her new boyfriend. So that was really difficult. So that was another kind of factor. And then it was just that thing of like, I actually had what I call my quarter life crisis. When I hit 25, I was kind of saying like, okay, what am I doing with my life? I'm making $9 an hour and I'm 25 years old. So that was kind of the big turning point for me to really start looking into, okay, I need to get serious about career and job and stuff like that. So I started applying for other jobs at that point. I actually had two offers, one of which I took. And I was actually working there part-time while still working at Disney. And then I got really inspired to go work. Actually, the company you and I worked at, Adam, Primerica, I got inspired to really pour everything into there. So I decided to leave Disney to pursue that full-time.
But do you remember, was it a bittersweet feeling for you? I mean, did you make a big exit on your way out? Was it say goodbye to everybody and making the rounds? Or was it just kind of like, well, this is done. I'm just slowly and quietly moving on.
Yeah, I don't know. It was one of those things where I wanted it to be a bigger deal, but it kind of wasn't. Like, I remember when I actually put in my 2 weeks, Janelle, the lead, was shocked that I was leaving. And then the last day kind of came along, and you do actually, there's a certain procedure. I don't know if you remember going through this, Adam, but there's a certain procedure that you go just not legally, but security wise. So like, they take away your ID, and they actually have someone, either a security guard or somebody, walk you out of the park so you don't, you know, like steal anything or just not leave, I guess. And so that was kind of a whole thing. And I remember, like, I did say goodbye to a number of people, but it was a little strange. And I remember even one of the schedulers, he even said, he's like, listen, about 4 weeks from now, you're going to feel the itch where you're going to be just like, oh man, I miss being in the costume. Give us a call. I think we can sneak in for like a set or two and that should cure that. And then you can move on with your life. So it never happened, but I remember him saying that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So somebody was offering you some advice on your way out and giving you a heads up. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Now, I had kind of two different exits, right?
Because
as we've often said, I had my two tours of duty at Disneyland, and it was interesting enough that the first time that I exited the company, I was going on to do missionary work down in Brazil, and I had submitted paperwork, and I had gotten, you know, the information that I was going to be leaving, and yet it got delayed, and so I quit the company, like, at the end of the summer of 2001, and then I had all these months, because I wasn't going to be leaving until January of the next year, and so I was like, oh, so I kind of got out of the game a little early, what do I do? So what I decided was that I would actually go and apply to work at another dream job of mine. I had a friend who had been working at KB Toys. Yes, the toy store, now defunct, famous for being in malls across the nation. And this one had opened up in a strip mall. As I've mentioned, I collected action figures, just toys in general, always fascinated me. So I was bugging my friend. I was like, hey, I'm going to be around for like, you know, 4 or 5 months here. Do you think you could get me a job? He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll get you an application, you can fill it out, da da da. So every week I would call him. He's like, oh yeah, I'll get it, don't worry about it, you know, and it just never happened. So at that point I'm like, look, I want to do this, I'm just gonna walk in. So I ended up going over to this KB toy store, and it just so happened that day when I walked in that the area manager was there kind of doing a little checkup on the team, and he was giving them a pep talk and whatever else he needed to do, and I just kind of infiltrated their huddle because my buddy was in there, and I'm like, I was here to apply for a job. And the regional manager looks at me, he's like, oh really? Well, we just happened to be looking for somebody. I was like, oh. He's like, well, why don't you come over here, let's have a little chat. So he like took me in the corner and we're just having this discussion, and he's kind of asking me about my work history. I was like, well, I've really been more of a performer, so I was in some children's theater, and then I've been working at Disneyland the last year and a half. He's like, oh, Disney? Well, they have the best customer service in the world. I think you would be a great fit. In fact, how would you like to come in and work as an assistant manager? And I was like, huh?
I was
like, I've never worked retail. I've never done anything. He's like, you'll be able to pick up the basics of the job. We're more concerned with people who are responsible, people who can actually, you know, create a customer experience. And I think that you're the right person. So just fill out your application. As long as your background check works out, we'll have you start next week. I was like, whoa. I was like, that that was the power of Disney in that moment, you know? And so it was quite an exciting time because I was like, wow, I go from one dream job to another. And it was super fun. This is what I'll mention, though. As I got going in that job, I worked as the assistant manager for about a month while getting my training. And then KB Toys started opening up that expansion called KB Toys at Sears, where they actually had a department of Sears turned into a KB Toy store. So what they had done is they had taken the other assistant manager from my store and put him at that store. That's why they had the opening. He became the manager of that store, but after like just a week or two, there was an incident. My friend and the manager of the store I was working at were fired because after hours, they were eating the candy at the register and stealing the display batteries, not realizing they were on camera the whole time or assuming nobody would ever check it, I guess. Wow. And so they got canned and they were out of there. And so after a month, this was crazy, I ended up going to the KB Toys at Sears store, and that manager at that store had to go back to the old store to be the manager because they had just fired their current manager. So I became the manager of KB Toys at Sears after 2 months with the company.
Wow.
And so we were just coming up on Black Friday, so I had to run a whole Black Friday sale. We were the highest performing KB Toys at Sears store in the area. Like, it worked out really well. And it was all because of Disney. So that was like a magical moving on experience. Second time around, it wasn't so much my decision. About, 6 months in or so of being back with the company, I eloped rather suddenly with a girl I'd been dating, thinking I was all romantic and all those things. It was a very poor choice on both our parts. It did not work out. And so almost immediately things went south in that relationship, but I was trying to keep it together. But part of that really affected my ability to get to work. And, not to go into too much detail, but just any time away from her was an issue. Any socializing outside of her was an issue. And so when I would go to work, like I was constantly being late because she was trying to keep me from going. And so, we read last episode, my performance report and my attendance report that required counseling. Well, it was only getting worse. And this time of no fault of my own. And so I saw the writing on the wall. Like, I probably would have stayed there another 2 years if circumstances had permitted, but I knew, I said to myself, I'd rather not get fired and have to take that to a next job when I have to explain why I'm not working at Disneyland anymore. I'd rather just say I left of my own accord. So that's what I did. But I decided that, yes, it's kind of a sad situation, but for my last shift, I want to make it something special. So my last shift was in Toontown, which was very fitting because for me, I worked a lot in Toontown. I really enjoyed it, even though many veteran characters did not. And in fact, for me, it was kind of coming full circle because probably my most distinct Disneyland memory was just before Toontown opened, taking the train around the park, and it stopped right behind It's a Small World, and looking through the hedge, there was this little opening and you could see Toontown. And it was just like this magic portal to me. I was like, oh, I want to be there. And then I got to work there and it meant so much to me. So for my last moments in the park, what I decided to do, and Jeff was there for this because I asked him to take pictures of it, I wanted to memorialize it. I decided that I would turn the tables a bit. Jeff, you might have seen it as, now you get to sign an autograph, folks, but I had an autograph book that after I would sign an autograph for the guest, I would hand them mine, and I had a giant pencil, Disneyland pencil, and I asked them to sign it for me, and so I still have that to this day. I have it right in front of me. It's very special. Big letters, it says sign my book. So I also got other characters to sign it during my final shifts as well. So, I'll read a few of the people here. We got Love Minnie Mouse, Your Pal Mickey Mouse, Love Donald Duck, Something in Japanese, somebody named Jen, I think. It's looks like a 7-year-old wrote it. Love Daisy Duck, somebody named Serena. Thank you, Serena. There's a Mitchell. There is somebody with very fancy handwriting that I think might be a princess, but I cannot read it, so I do not know. Prince Adam, we'll miss you. Love, Snow White. Norma, Dusty, and Aaron, Lauren, Eeyore. Oh, thanks everybody for being a part of my final days. Even best wishes in all you do from Belle and the Beast, among others. So that is a treasured moment for me, and I just thought it was a fun way to cap off my time in the park.
Well, it reminds me, I was just watching the TV show The Office episode where they're about to close the Scranton branch and Kelly Kapoor goes around to get everyone to sign her directory. And they're like, are you kidding me? It's like, no. but it's that funny thing is that, and that's the thing that I always felt, which we're going to get into, I'm sure, in a bit, is that in a lot of ways, the culture of the department was a lot like high school. It was kind of an extension. I mean, for me, and I think we talked about this before, for both you and I, Adam, we didn't really have the traditional college experience where we were living on campus in the dorms and stuff like that. And so instead, we had Disneyland. And in a lot of ways, it was very similar to that sort of an experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, that being the case, you have your friends sign your book. I even had Jeff sign my book, Royal Storyteller Jeff. So thank you, Jeff. It's right here. I did have to add one more here because I just was flipping through and I found this. I might be a little concerned for this, but it says, I love Goofy. I think he's hot. Maybe he'll be my boyfriend, Julie. So Julie, wherever you're at, big kisses and hugs. Goofy loves you too.
There you go.
So Jeff, yeah, so as you moved on, you mentioned that you were kind of given the advice that you might feel that pull back to the park. You might feel like you really had a somber feeling. Did I make the right decision? Do you feel like that was the case? Did it ever come back around for you in your heart that said, well, I'd kind of be having more fun doing character work? Or did you find what you were doing to be fulfilling?
Well, and I think it's interesting you use two different words, because I don't know that all of us, the primary thing that we're looking from a job is fun.
Some of us do.
Like you said, is that there's just that reality of the world that we live in is your job is what pays for your lifestyle. And like we had talked about in the career episode, that's the challenge of the lifestyle that the Disney salary would allow. Was very limiting. And I mean, like scraping to get by, you had to go to the grocery store with only $20 and figure out how you can buy what you need with the amount of money that you had, as opposed to being able to have a little bit more flexibility or save for the future or whatever. So that definitely was a shift in mentality. There wasn't really ever a point, mostly because of that, there wasn't a point where I was yearning for the lifestyle. I have had, even in the years since, I've had a number of dreams that I was back working there, even for a day. And to be honest, they're usually not pleasant dreams. That's more because the reality is, and we've kind of joked about it, but the bulk of the experience was, especially after, you know, years of working there, the bulk of the experience was in the 8 hours that you work. A lot of it was out of picture. And then, you know, that part, yeah, that's definitely not something that I miss.
And what was the work that you were doing? How did it compare?
So, well, kind of similar. It was funny, too, because I kind of had an opposite experience to you, Adam, in the years that followed. I mean, I would always put down Disney pageant helper because I didn't want to really, like, oh, I was a costumed character or something like that. One, because I did take that very seriously. And two, because especially the jobs that I was applying for, I would get kind of snickers or questions that were unrelated to the job itself. So I would always put it as a customer service type thing, and trying to explain how it was customer service, it still never quite sat with people. So it was always on there. It had to be, because explaining a 6-year gap in my employment history. But the jobs that I had afterwards were typically customer service. And then it kind of snowballs, because one customer service leads to another. The funny thing was, after Disney, and even before Disney, like even with the jobs back in high school, my dream, which sounds silly to say now, my dream was Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Because when you're in high school, you don't work 9 to 5. You work nights and you work weekends. And so I'm just like, I can't hang out with my friends. I gotta work. And so to be able to sleep in so that you go to work at 9 a.m. Oh, and then to be done at 5 so you can come home and still go out that night, like, that sounds so awesome. And to have your weekends free and everything like that. So that was kind of what I was actually looking for leaving Disney, is like a more of an office sort of stable job, especially one where I could be, you know, appreciated. As I said, that was a big thing for me.
And I know you mentioned Primerica, and obviously they are big into making you feel special and try to celebrate all the accomplishments you make. It's sure a big appeal for you as you're leaving the Disney experience. So yeah, that's interesting. For me, it was kind of weird, because like I said, it wasn't my choice. So once I ended up doing that, I said, okay, well, where am I going to work? So I ended up just like working at a Rubio's fish taco restaurant across the street from where I lived at the time. And so I went there and they were like, all right, well, we're glad to have you. We're looking for somebody long term. I'm like, yeah, as far as I know, I'm long term. So I'm there. I could barely work a cash register. By the way, when I worked at KB Toys, I couldn't work the cash register hardly at all either.
As the manager?
Yeah, I gave everything to my assistant manager, who was much more capable and should have been the manager, but he was going to school, so he just had limited hours, and I was wide open. That was the other reason I got the job.
Wow.
And so he should have been promoted, so I think he was slightly bitter, and I made him do all the work. He made the schedule. He did everything, you know, when there was an issue, he had to resolve it. You know, I was just there to kind of delegate everything and hire new people. So I did eventually also work at Toys R Us. So fun jobs. This is what I do. And then during that time, I had actually just graduated from our junior college with a 4.0 average somehow, because I was terrible in high school, and I applied to a four-year university and I got in. My ex-wife and I, we went and attended that university for about a month, and then I realized I was not college material, and we both realized we have no money as students. We'd rather have money. So we moved back to California, and then we started working for a cookie bouquet company.
Oh yeah.
So you might remember this fad. I think it's still exists, but it's one of those things that was kind of big in the early 2000s, where a cookie's in the shape of a flower and it's on a little dowel rod, and then you put it in some styrofoam and then you deliver it to somebody, so it's a delicious treat that they can have that also looks fun. And there was a lot of Disney cookie bouquets that I would deliver, things like that. So I was a delivery driver, which was also actually a dream job for me, because I loved just putting in a CD and rocking out while I'm delivering cookies to people. Like, that was fun. And I might have taken a little extra time on my jobs to go to comic book stores and music stores. Probably shouldn't have done that, but my wife was the manager at the time, so I thought I could get away with it. Not a model employee. And then, yeah, it was interesting, because after all that, then I kind of did say, okay, well, this is time for me to get mature. So I went to work for an investment company called the Capital Group, but that necessitated a move out of California to Arizona. So I actually moved to Phoenix, Arizona. And so that was like a total shift, because this was like a big corporation. I was in customer service. I was expected to understand the world of investments and finances, at least on a basic level, so I could tell people about their accounts and how they were performing. And I was terrible at math, and even during the training I was just goofing off and drawing pictures of people and giving it to them during the training. But because of Disney, they're like, well, but he's gonna be so great on the phones, he's gonna be so good to people. And I will tell you, I was not. They would listen in, and you're talking about coaching, constant coaching. Now, we'd love you to take the job a little more seriously. This is like 5 years into the troubled relationship. This was the final days of a divorce going down. And so I was also just trying to escape reality altogether. And so they got to the point where they said, look, we're going to have to ask you to leave the company, like, today. Like, they were so scared that I was such a bad employee, and I was giving false information, that they're just like, yeah, you gotta go. So I literally had a bunch of toys and like comics and stuff all over my desk, and I just had to go put them all in a box, and I had to walk to a Barnes and Noble and wait there until my wife could come pick me up when she was done at her job. And so it was this situation where I'm just like, wow, like, this is what my life has become. Disney, come back to me. Eventually I did get a more stable job with lower expectations, but then I was able to rise to the occasion, was promoted, became a marketing manager, and did a lot of other things for a different corporation. There's a happy ending to the story. I'm happily married with three kids to a wonderful woman now, but it was just like the journey after that second time at Disney was crazy. I just could not have imagined that my life would become that out of control, and then to kind of stabilize and come back to reality in life was very nice.
That's kind of the challenge, is that, like I've been saying from the beginning, is that my expectation going in to working at Disney was that this was, man, entertainment at Disney, you can write your ticket anywhere. But the problem is like, if that was true, you'd only be able to write your ticket to other performing entertainment things, which those are not really resume based. I mean, they somewhat are. That's what gets your foot in the door, but they're performance based. And so, you know, you walk into like a, you know, like a Ernst & Young and say like, I would like to be your manager because I have been a Disney character. Like, no, it's very difficult to see the transferable skills. And I mean, I would, in job interviews, I would explain like the things that we did, because there was definitely a lot of things that are transferable. I mean, not only the skills that we gained, but also just dealing with irate customers and like, you know, being able to communicate in different situations, the interacting with fellow workers, like all of those sort of things are things that we did, but they're not as obviously transferable on paper, I would say.
Yeah, well, and I think it's funny because you would think that, oh, a theme park guest is a dream customer to deal with. But the truth is, you know, they're just as angry even as the other people at Starbucks or at the local grocery store who are not getting the service they want. Or they can't, I can't find the apples I want. Why don't you have the apples I want? You know, they're just like, throw it a fit. There are crazy people everywhere. There are people who feel entitled everywhere. There are people who cannot control their emotions or know how to be polite to service workers in the world who are really kind of doing their best to get by. Be nice to these people.
When you have tens of thousands of people going in, and we were just talking about it, back in those days, it was still like $80 or so to get into Disneyland. So you've paid $80 per person to get in here. And, you know, it comes with a certain sense of like, hey, I want to get my money's worth here, man. So I don't want to be sitting in line all day waiting for Goofy to get off his, you know, to get the job done.
Well, and I'll say, like, the truth is, if I'd say, what have I learned from working at Disneyland that I could carry into my life? Like, I would say, like, honestly, although it took me a very long time to get out of my own head, you know, to be all self-centered and everything else, which, you know, a young man is prone to be, is that when you're at a job, it is 100% not about you. Your paycheck, everything is based on how well you treat your customer and how well you interact with your coworkers. And you have to remember that you are playing a role if that's not how you're feeling that day. You know, you had a rough time at home, doesn't matter. They still expect you to perform at a certain level. And so from Disney, like, because they focus so much on the guest experience and, you know, remember, you're trying to create magical moments for the guest. You're trying to embody that thing that means so much to them, that I always was able to think that in the back of my mind and say, okay, well, this is probably not my favorite person, but I can still be polite to them, and I'm understanding that they have an expectation. How can I meet that to the best of my abilities, to the point that they're, you know, being unreasonable and you just can't please them, you know? But you do your best, and just remembering that it was not about me, I think, served me well eventually.
Yeah, well, and I mean, even thinking, like, as a performer, where it's like, you're supposed to be Goofy or the Beast or whoever you are in any situation. And sometimes that's really difficult, yeah, with an irate person or with someone that has, you know, different needs than you would be accustomed to. And you can't just snap into Jeff mode and be like, hey, you need to treat me better. It's like, no, this is Goofy. How would Goofy react in this sort of a situation? And yeah, that's your job.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, do you think back to your character department days very often? I know you said you're not necessarily a nostalgic person, but I mean, is it a point of pride for you that you worked at the Disney parks, that you played characters? I mean, does it come up often in your life?
Again, for me, that period of my life, I hired in when I was 19 and then I left when I was 25. So those 6 years were huge. And I mean, they even talk about, like, now, that's actually when your brain stops developing, is when you're in those early 20 years and you're kind of becoming who you are. For me, that was where I kind of, yeah, became the person that I am today. And so for me, I don't know that it's the work necessarily that I reflect back on, but I think I've become someone who is very conscious. I think a lot about, like, who I am and how I'm being interpreted or come across to other people and what has made me this way. And I think that came from Disney, is that the really interesting thing being inside of a costume character, and like we talked about in previous episodes, a lot of times people there's some sort of a disconnect that you're not quite a normal human that's standing there. So they behave a little bit differently as opposed to if there was a security guard standing there or a park employee. But in front of Goofy, and so we would see people act differently than you do when you're in the grocery store or something like that. And it was really interesting for me to kind of like, yeah, what I got to observe about humanity. And then the same thing for myself. Again, like we're talking about those things of how I would react to those things. And again, working with these veteran characters that had been doing the same thing for 20, 30 years, the observations they'd made, those made a really big impact on me too.
And I was just remembering really quick, do you recall your plan at one point, one of your business opportunities you were pursuing was you were going to open a restaurant. You were actually actively searching out sites. I have pictures that you took, photographs of you in front of former restaurants now for rent or sale. And I suggested the name Feff Jambles.
Yeah.
For the name of this. Do you want to tell everybody the origin of Feff Jambles real quick?
So this was actually while I was still working at Disneyland. After 6 years, I legitimately was looking for ways like, how is this sustainable? How can I actually continue working here? So one idea I had, and actually it was based on the movie that was always on Comedy Central. What was that called? PCU? So in PCU, if you've seen that movie, they decide to try and save their frat or their whatever they live in by throwing a massive party and charging people to come in. And I'm like, whoa, what if you could do that like every weekend? Like, could that be your business? So then I had the idea of, what if you actually bought a place and you lived upstairs and then downstairs you turned it into a club or something like that? So it was like, that was my money-making idea. So yeah, I looked into a number of different old abandoned restaurants, but unfortunately, yeah, looking more into the, not only the legal ways that you can do and live on a prop, like a business, that's tricky. But also someone brought up the fact that they're like, yeah, but those places, like, they gotta be the hip places. And Jeff, like, you're just not hip. Like, it's just not gonna work.
It's very likely. But I wanna also tell people that, you know, Feff Jambles, that name that I said, that might be the thing that gets people's attention, you know, is that once Jeff received a piece of junk mail addressed to
Feff Campbell.
Why anybody ever thought there was anybody in the world named Feff? I mean, somebody maybe in the South, you know, in the 1800s, there might have been a Feff out there. But I used to pitch to Jeff. I said, well, if your restaurant is called Feff Jambles, I'll do the jingle for your commercials. Come on down to Feff's. Yeah, come on down to Feff's. Feff Jambles. Feff Jambles, that's right.
So you definitely didn't get the vision of the hip place to throw a party. I don't think that was relayed well.
I feel like hipsters would go there now.
Well,
it would be ironic.
There were no such thing as hipsters back in 2003. So.
Unfortunately, yes. You were just a little too early, ahead of your time, Jeff. We could have had it all.
Well, you were. Again, this was not my idea. There was no Feff Jambles.
Oh, I love taking Jeff's basic concepts and expanding them to
ruining
something.
Them.
That is marketable. Also, I want to mention here real quick. So Jeff mentioned here that he felt like it was the relationships probably ultimately more than just the magical moments that you make that kind of persist and are special, the camaraderie. On my way out the door, I had a friend that I hired in with hand me what has to be here, I think, about 10 loose leaf notebook pages written on in marker, multiple colors. This is a full letter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read to you a few excerpts from this, okay? Adam, you're finally leaving me all alone in the sphincter of Disneyland. First Crystal, now you. At this rate, I'll be alone by next year. Seriously, pretty soon I won't know anyone around here. This was a great concern. Finally, this was the revelation that came to me. I must admit, and I must tell you this before you leave, that when we hired in, I had a slight crush on you because you were such a funny and friendly guy. Then I realized, duh, he has a girlfriend. Those things that come out at the last minute, things you never know. She says, well, please write. I'll hold down the fort for you. Hopefully the company keeps me that long. Who knows? In the meantime, please enjoy these tokens of my appreciation. And then I got page after page of all the characters she played. her autographs. But yeah, so those enduring relationships for me, again, Jeff is my real connection to the parks. When I think back, and this is kind of the irony, I think, of it all, for Jeff, who was so passionate, who was committed, who was ready to give 100% to the job, and me, who was just kind of floating through for a fun time, I mentioned working at Disneyland at least once a month, somehow, some way, to somebody. It just comes up, and it's a part of my life story as I'm getting to know people, and it's probably the most interesting part of my life story that anybody wants to know. I mean, there's a lot of other creative projects and things I've done over the years that mean a lot to me, but to the populace at large, it's going to be Disneyland. So it has opened the doors, whether it was, you know, during my dating years, whether it was just, you know, kind of getting to know people, or even in a professional setting, it's something you can drop on somebody and it kind of, oh, he must be a good guy. He must be a fun guy. Okay. So to me, it is a source of pride that I was ever selected. Just the concept of saying, oh, you were good enough to work at Disneyland, and they felt like you would get the job done. Now, as we explored last week, maybe there's not such a high bar there for that. Even going up to a former CEO that might think that it doesn't have anything to do with your actual ability. But either way, it was a very, very special experience to me. And like I say, I reflect on it often and think about it often. So doing this show was just kind of a natural extension of the conversations I have. And really, like I said, I've always wanted to pull the stories from Jeff, because I knew there was a lot of history there. There was a lot of thoughts and feelings that maybe weren't shared and weren't written down or recorded for the ages, and now they have been. So, Jeff, as we get ready to close here, do you feel like you could distill your Disneyland character part of experience down to one memory, whether it was on stage or backstage? Is there something that you can always come back around to?
First thought, like, kind of going back to what you were just saying, is that, especially with you and your personality, it totally makes sense that, hi, my name is Adam. I used to work at Disneyland. That gives you a big insight into understanding Adam Pope, is that if you hear that, you're like, oh yeah. Whereas for me, like, not that it's necessary, you know, every single person I think who's ever worked there, that's kind of that running joke. Oh, you were Goofy? Well, I can certainly see that, even if you totally can't. Because again, if you meet Adam and I, like, we're pretty different, like, personalities on the outside, but I think we've both heard the, like, oh, I can totally see that you played Goofy. But at least for me, like, my concern is always the context. Saying, oh, I was Goofy at Disneyland elicits a certain image and a certain understanding, which I personally don't agree with. I'm just kind of like, yeah, but you're not understanding what we've been talking about, the magic and the wholeness and the concept of what that means and what that has meant to me, to just kind of distill it down to, like, Goofy Disneyland. Oh, okay, I understand everything I need to know. No, you don't. But that's tough to do, and I struggle with that in a lot of different areas.
Well, and I know for you too, you personally also really want to protect and preserve the magic for kids.
Oh, totally.
So you don't want that to get around where now the little kid finds out about it and it destroys their world.
Yeah, and different people have different reverence for that sort of a thing like that. So, but to get to your question, as far as distilling it down to a single memory, like, I don't think there's a definitive story or picture or whatever. The one stereotypical one, which I think I've mentioned before, was that one time where I walked out and then a kid sprinted from across town square and screaming Goofy and just, like, dove into my arms to get a big hug, and I went down on one knee and stuff like that, which was the kind of stuff that you see in the commercials. But that literally only happened one time. The biggest thing that I hold and I seem to talk about more are lessons or the, like, wisdom that I received, whether it was through just kind of, like, observation or whether it was from some of the different characters that I worked with. That's usually the one, yeah, that I hold on to most of all.
Yeah, and I would say that's surprisingly for me, that was also the most impactful. Sitting in the break room of Goofy's Kitchen,
yeah,
there was just something of a reverence in that room for the job because of the veterans that were working there. And just the goodwill that they generally had, they were laid back because they've been doing it forever. But then, yeah, they could put you in your place every once in a while and make you think. And for some reason, I always go back to just thinking about sitting in Goofy's kitchen. But I will say the most alive memory that I have was my literal last moment on set. I said, I'm in Toontown. This is going to be my cartoony moment. I'm going to animate to the extreme. What I decided was I am going to make a run around the entire length of Toontown on my way out the door. So what I did was I literally started over in the downtown area. I went and I pulled everything. I opened the door that shocks you. You know, I blew up the TNT factory. I went into the mailboxes and turned all the things. I ran around. I would just kind of like skid on my shoes and like back and forth, waved to everybody as I went by, put my hand up to get a high five from a guest. I would just run, go into Donald's boathouse, go into Goofy's bounce house. I just, you know, you couldn't stop me because I was moving so fast, you know. I'm sure the host that was with me was like, ah, what is happening? And so I kind of made my way around, just had some fun in each section. And then at the last minute, if you've been to Toontown, between the gas station and Minnie's house, there are these giant Jurassic Park style wooden gates. There you have these two giant handles on them. And so what I did was I just ran full speed up to those doors and jumped up and put my feet up on the doors. So I have my giant Goofy shoes up there, and then I held on with both hands, and then it was as if I was like, let me out, you know, I'm like pulling on the handles, and then slid back down, turned around, did a little salute off my Goofy hat, and then flew into the backstage area. And that was like my last moment on set, just saying I gave it my all. There was my Goofy moment.
The really impressive part about that is that it's not like Disneyland is empty. Is that as you're doing a run like that, is that people are constantly coming up to you saying, Goofy picture, Goofy autograph, Goofy picture, Goofy picture. And so I'm assuming you weren't just ignoring them all, but trying to do all of that while still doing that run, like that takes some know-how and takes some experience.
I learned something during my time there, that's for sure. And I feel like we're at the end of the series here, we're at the end of the episode, but I feel like it's the last episode of Seinfeld. You could just put us in Disney jail and then we would just kind of sit there and still trade stories and philosophies and ideas back and forth, on and on and on. But, you know, for now, that's it. I mean, just like a classic Disney film where putting a bookmark on the page of the leather-bound storybook emblazoned with the Two Goofs podcast logo and waiting for the time to return for the final installment. Yes, episode 12 is planned as a look to the future and what the Disneyland character experience can mean to ourselves and our families going forward. Our plan is to somehow return to the Disneyland Resort together next year, hopefully, with our wives and kids to create new memories and share our feelings about returning to our former workplace with you, our loyal Goofsters. You know, Jeff's just welcomed a second baby into the world by the time you're hearing this, so it may be a little while before we can logistically accomplish that. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we're hoping to get some of those bonus interviews we've been promising all along. Hopefully life is settling down for our friends from the department, and we can give you a different perspective and some more fun stories that way. But Jeff, honestly, as always with these projects that we embark on together, thanks so much for being a part of it, being the excellent goof that you've always been, and bringing your perspective, because yeah, hearing me make up a bunch of stories for 11 episodes wouldn't quite have had the same weight as that you bring.
Well, thank you again. Like I do recommend to any listeners, even though our experiences in this particular case, especially as Disney fans, our experiences are, you know, what we want to listen to. But again, for me, it's been really eye-opening, where it's just like, you know, everybody has life experiences that if you just let them pass by and you don't sit and like and savor them and reflect back on them, then, you know, it's just the past gone. And so to just kind of sit in the past from time to time, not to dwell, but just to hearken back, has been great for me. And so I'd recommend it to everybody.
Well said. So until next time, oh yeah, talk to you soon.